Another session of study of God's Word. You all have your Bibles? Hold your Bible up. Let me see your Bible. Good. Because you'll need it as we are reading and studying a little bit tonight from God's Word. One of the things I like to tell young people as they come through the upper grades of high school and into college life is don't ever forget, and don't ever lose your faith and your love for family, I usually say. There are tendencies for young people sometimes in that critical time in their life to have difficulties with their faith. And when they see so many people around them doing other things and so many temptations and so many challenges to faith, it is a threat to who they are and who they will want to be later on. So I usually say faith and family. That's going to be a key element in who you are in the future as you begin to establish your own families. Faith is essential. As far as our relationship with God is concerned, as you study your New Testament as well as your Old Testament, you'll see that key element of the character of an individual is found in his faith, who he is, what he is going to be as an adult. The Apostle Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2, by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Such an important verse of Scripture, by faith, by grace, we are saved. So we look at that and we know that there is an essential quality to this matter of faith in the character of each individual. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, the writer of Hebrews says. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And so I always try to implore young people as they begin their lives to make a commitment to faith and then to live that out in their families. Let me take you back this evening to one of my very favorite stories in all of the Bible, and it's about faith and it's about young people. It occurs in the book of Daniel. And we're going to read some from Daniel chapter 3 and see this matter of the faith challenged and how that is depicted in the lives of three young men. You will remember that the Babylonian captivity took place in three stages. You may or may not be aware of that. But in the earliest stage, there were several of the young royal family that were taken into captivity. One of them was Daniel, the one by whom this book is named, or for whom this book is generally identified. And there were three others about his age that went into the captivity with him: Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And those three Hebrew princes, I like to think of them, they're princes. If they were not blood princes, they were princes in faith in these olden scriptures, are seen as holding to the customs, the laws of the Israelites that had been given by the Almighty God, Jehovah, even in the face of the trials and the challenges to their faith over in Babylon when they were taken there in the captivity. Now, when you turn to chapter 3, we begin to see early on what kind of challenge came to them. And I'm sure there were other kinds of issues that they had to deal with in life. We all do. We all deal with temptations. We all deal with desires of the flesh. We all have to handle the circumstances of life that come to us. We all have, at some time or other, challenges with our religion, with our relationship to God as we go along. And that's what we're going to see as we read. The Bible says in verse 3 here, Nebuchadnezzar, or chapter 3 of Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits, that's 90 feet tall. And its width 6 cubits, that's 9 feet wide. And he set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. And he called all the people, verse 2, to come to the dedication of that image, a worship service to an idol. And these boys had a challenge put before them. Would they give credence to the religion of the Babylonians, or would they stand up for their faith? That's a challenge that we face in our world today. And it's not just the young people that face that kind of challenge. It's a challenge for all of us. Are we going to be silent when the world's idols are put before us and our faith is at issue? Are we going to be challenged by our family in terms of our faith, by our occupation, by our community position, by money, by things, or by some other false religion that doesn't measure up to what the New Testament teaches? Are we going to stand for what is right? And we have to make that decision. All through our lives, we must make that decision. And sometimes it's very difficult to face up to what is being said by our associates, by our friends at school, by our fellow laborers at work, particularly when that's criticized in some way, as it will be with these boys. Well, they were called to come to the dedication of the image, and that challenge came from an idol. You know, God is a jealous God. God doesn't want us to worship other things, other gods that take His place in our lives. Isaiah talked about the Old Testament prophets in Isaiah 44. He talked about how that these idols back in the ancient times had taken over the worship of the nations around Israel and had come into Israel itself. And he said, do you remember how he ridiculed them and he made fun of their idols? And he said, now we cut down a tree and we burn part of it in the fire, and we use part of it to cook our meals with. and we warm ourselves with another part of that tree. And then he said, we carve it up and make it into a god and we worship it. How absurd is that? How ridiculous if you really think about what you are doing. So let's start with that idea of being challenged. We're all challenged. We commit to something, but recognize once you've committed, it'll be challenged. You'll have to face it. Young people especially, in the day in which we live, recognize and make your commitment early to what is right. Now, I've already suggested that we might be slandered for what we believe. And these boys were. Things were said about them. Some of the things that were said about them were true, apparently. But some of them apparently were not at the same time. So the text says, let's read again. Everybody have your Bible open there on your lap. Keep it at Daniel 3. Verse 8, therefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came forward and accused the Jews. And they spoke and said to King Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree that everyone who hears the instrument shall fall down and worship the gold image. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And then, as they go on, they threaten these boys. Nebuchadnezzar, verse 13, in rage and fury, gave the command to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying to them, is it true? Is it true what they were saying about them? Well, in fact, the basic things, and we can only imagine how they put this to Nebuchadnezzar. I can usually understand how people sometimes make fun of those of us that are Christians and say things about us, some of which are true and some of which are not. But basically, what they had to say in this situation was that these boys are not worshiping your God. They're not bowing down as we expect. So that put a test to these boys, didn't it? A test in their personal lives. They would be thrown in the burning fiery furnace if Nebuchadnezzar carried out his command. A threat to their beliefs if they compromised what they were and who they were. And a test, really, of their fellowship with the other Jews who, being faithful to God, were standing for what is right. You know, the challenges to our faith affect other people as well. True, our personal lives are impacted by threats against our faith. And true, our own beliefs are threatened. But also our fellowship among God's people are threatened. I could tell you a story that impacted someone that I know very well, a young person who has come out and declared that they are gay and decided that that's not sinful and that the practice of that would not be sinful. You see, challenged by the social things that are being said these days and the threats to our faith. Well, what we want to see in these boys' lives is that they did stand strong. And because of that, they become the examples in this book, at least some of the examples of what is right. Nebuchadnezzar said, "Is it true?" What would you say if they said, "Is it true that you're a Christian?" When that had been made fun of in a science classroom, and the entire class at the university applauded the teacher or affirmed that what he was saying was right. Now they come to you and they say, "Is it true that you're a Christian?" And then he says in the end of verse 15 of your text there, "Who is the God who will deliver you from my hands?" You see, Nebuchadnezzar turned this into a contest between himself and God Almighty, Jehovah, didn't he? And that's a hard thing to do. But let me tell you, these boys had decided ahead what they would say in these kinds of situations. And that's exactly the point I want to make tonight for you young people. I want you to know that the key is making your decision ahead. If it's a moral value, you do not wait till you're back in the back seat of a car somewhere to decide how far you will go in showing your affection. You don't decide about what you're going to do on Sunday for worship or for Wednesday night for worship 30 minutes before it's time to go there. Let me ask you, where are you going to be on Wednesday night, the second Wednesday night of August in 2020, where are you going to be? Most of you in this room know where you're going to be because you've decided what you're going to do about that. And these boys had decided what they would say to him. So here's the response. This is verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that's their Babylonian names that had been given to them by Nebuchadnezzar, answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter." The decision had already been made, hadn't it? And your decision needs to be made, if it has not already, for the good things in your life. This response, when we've already made our decision, protects us. It protects us from any reveling with our decision. It protects us from the affection of the world. It protects us from the evil desires of those who would take us away from God. So they go on, if that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. That's their belief. That's what they think. But if not, they say, if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image that you have set up. You see why this is one of my favorite Bible stories in all the Old Testament? One of the reasons I like to talk about it, particularly with people about the age of these boys, I like to talk about this passage of Scripture because they were not going to compromise, even if it meant that they were thrown in the burning, fiery furnace. And they were. As you go on and read in the text, Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury, the text says. And the expression, this is verse 19, you watching? The expression on his face changed toward Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He was really angry. He was so angry that his face got real red. That ever happened in your family? Did you young people ever do anything that got mom and dad red-faced because they were just trying so hard to hold back saying what they really thought at the moment? It's interesting how our emotions are shown sometimes. But now, he was furious at the boys, and he ordered that they heat the furnace 7 times more than it was usually heated. What would they do now? Would that cause them to give in? Would that create a situation where now is the time to compromise? You know, the time when faith is really tested is when the danger is there, when the danger is confronting us right in front of us. I read a story a while back about a child who was in a bedroom on the second floor, and a fire broke out in the house. And so the dad and mother couldn't get up the stairs, and they went outside under the window where this child was, and they said, "Now you're going to have to jump down into daddy's arms." And the child now has to decide to put his faith in his daddy. When the challenge came, when the threat was there, he opened the window and his daddy said, "Do you trust me?" And the child said, "Yes." And he said, "Okay, jump." That's when his faith had to come through, wasn't it, in that situation? And that's the way it was with these boys. Nebuchadnezzar heated the furnace. They knew they were going inside the furnace if they didn't bow down to that image. And we know sometimes maybe our grade will be affected. Maybe our popularity will be affected. Maybe even our finances will be affected. Maybe our job will be affected. But we've decided ahead who we are. And we're Christians. We've decided ahead we believe in God. And so we do. And we stand firm with the Lord in all things. Well, the text says, and our time's going to get away from us here, the text says that these boys were brought near to the fiery furnace. And the furnace was so hot that it even burned the ones who were putting them in there. But as we read our text, the fire killed the men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, verse 22. And they were seen down in the fire themselves, but they were not hurt. The fire did not burn them. The fire had no power over them. Verse 27. The hair of their head was not singed, nor were their garments affected, and the smell of fire was not on them. God protected them, didn't He? God took care of those who were faithful to Him. Let me suggest to you that if you make that kind of commitment to the Lord, He's making His commitment to you. In Hebrews chapter 13, there is a passage of Scripture that uses five negatives. And basically what it says is, I will never, never, never leave you nor forsake you. That's what God promises to all of us. That same promise is repeated several times before Hebrews 13 in the Old Testament. But God promises to be with us. And you want to live, listen, young people, you want to live with a good conscience in your life. You want not to have to worry every time the telephone rings whether somebody's found out about some sin that you've done in your life. You want to be at peace with yourself. And then you want to have a family, like we were saying a while ago. You want to have a family that is built on a foundation of faith and dedication to God that supports who you are and what you are. Your family is not just, when I was a kid, we used the word fuddy-duddy. You don't know that word, probably. But your family is not just old traditionalists who don't understand about life. Your dad and your mom went through the same kind of temptations that you do, maybe in a little different form. But they put their trust in God, and that's why your family is what your family is, you see. And you want that. You will want that a little later. These boys came through the fiery trial. And you can come through the fiery trials if you will put your faith in God, and if you will stand up for what is right and good. I have stood by the bedside of too many people whose lives were fleetingly passing away. And I remember several of them in several special ways. I'll tell you about just one right now. His name was D. Lively. He was a fine man. His son is now 84 years old and a member of the church at Citrus Park. But I stood by old Brother Lively's bed. And he hadn't spoken for the last 24 hours. But I leaned over the bed and I said to him, "Shall we have a prayer together?" And he opened his eyes and a smile came on his face. That's what you want in your life, through your life, at the end of your life. And you don't want to be afraid to die, and so you walk up and down in the room, afraid to go to sleep, afraid that you won't wake up. You want to have hope. You want to have strength in your character. You want your conscience to be clear. And so you give your faith to God. How important is that? Nothing is more important. When the boys got through with all of this trial, and they were brought out of the fiery furnace, victorious, this word is said at the end of verse 29 in your text. There is no other God who can deliver like this. And I want to say to you that for us today in the 21st century, 2020 almost, there is no other God like the one that you will serve. If you commit to Jesus Christ, you obey the gospel, you believe, because except you believe that I am He, Jesus said, you will die in your sins. And you're willing to turn away from all things that offend God. Repent, we call it. Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And be baptized for the remission of your sins, so that you are born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. You are buried with Christ by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead, you also will walk in newness of life. Your life depends on your decision, just as these boys' lives depended on their faith in God. Won't you be a Christian? If you're here tonight and you haven't obeyed the gospel, won't you come to the Lord? Recognize what that means to you. It means everything good. Come to Jesus while we stand, while we sing our song, please.